welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program. We just shared at a previous program the very tragic but also exciting event of the hundreds of thousands of Israelite slaves on their way out of Egypt. They'd been there for such a long time, but now they were free to go. And as they leave, they have a tremendous sense of excitement because the oppression of slavery had been so severe. This was no easy time in any respect, and now they're on their way. Now, Moses is told by God to consecrate to him the firstborn male. Just as a firstborn had died, now firstborn were to be consecrated, set aside, and indeed, ultimately, the whole people were to be a consecrated people, set aside for God. Now, as you look through chapter 13, you see that there is this wonderful sense that we're on our way now, we're moving forward, we're going to get out of Egypt, and we're going to soon be in a much better place. That was the expectation and hope as they left. Now, Moses is having to listen very carefully to God, because God knows the whole picture. At this moment of time, the people have been laden with treasures and precious things that the Egyptians just poured upon them. They just didn't want them there anymore. And they didn't want the curse that had come upon them to be extended in any way. And so they were just as generous as they could be to say, look, go, we're going to bless you. Go and get out of this situation. Now, Moses has taken the bones of Joseph with him, because in Exodus 13, verse 19, we're reminded that Moses had been told that Joseph had made the commitment that his bones needed to be carried up from the place of Egypt back to the land which really belonged to the people of Israel. Now, their journey was not a short journey. It wasn't like they left Egypt and they were in the promised land in 5 minutes. It was going to take time. And so the Lord went ahead of them. And when they were traveling through the night, there was a pillar of fire. And when they were traveling by day, there was a pillar of cloud. Now, this pillar of fire and pillar of cloud, they are significant because they were symbols of God's presence. Fire in the cloud, the sense that God was with them, he was leading them, he was directing them. And they follow the direction that Moses places them in, and they're heading towards the Red Sea. And they've been guided, as I've said, it's almost like the star in a way that led the wise men to Jesus. This pillar of cloud and this pillar of fire moving the people forward to a different place. They come to the Red Sea. And at this point, there's a point of excitement and there's a point of panic. The excitement is that they're at this place and Moses seems confident that somehow they're going to get across. But there's fear and terror, because they look to see that the Egyptian armies are heading towards them. Pharaoh's changed his mind yet again. And he's not going to let them go. He's after them. And it's at this point that Moses makes an incredible step of faith. He lifts his rod, his staff, over the water. And the water parts. Miraculously, incredibly, the water parts. And it means that the Israelites can go through on dry land. There's a path made through the sea, and they come out the other side. Pharaoh's army decides to pursue, but when they're in the water, the waters return to their same place, and the army is drowned. It's a massive, massive event. If the Freedom out of Egypt was massive. Getting through that Red Sea was another massive experience. We must stop here, but my good friend Patrick will play a song of worship and join me in a few minutes to reflect further on the crossing of the Red Sea.
Dare to live, dare to dream again like a child. He knows the desires of your heart. Though they're tucked away, battered and bruised, get up off the floor. It's time to stand tall. We were born to live, we're afraid to run. We've been given eternal life that we may never die. We have minds to dream, we have hearts to love. We're created to reign in life, live the dream and fly like the eagle. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Broken dreams, now just a whisper.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at these verses from Exodus chapter 13 and 14. So we start, Richard, with the consecration of the firstborn. We've just the Exodus from Egypt and the Passover has just taken place, and the first thing that Moses does is says to the people to consecrate the firstborn. I guess this is about the people of Israel having the right attitude and putting God first?
Yeah, very much so. I think it's also a comment upon the fact that firstborn in Egypt had died, and there had been the protection for the Hebrews because of obeying God, putting the blood on the doors.
Mm.
But now a very positive, consecrate the firstborn to be, it is a way of just reflecting and saying, we're going to do things God's way now.
Mm.
You know, we have got into a mess, and I'm sure during those years in slavery, there had been what we might term backsliding. They'd fallen away from their real faith and focus in the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. But now they've got the opportunity to get back on track.
Mm.
And the question is, will they take it?
Yes. And putting God first and this firstborn, the focus on the firstborn, is quite a theme throughout the Bible, isn't it? In terms of, you know, giving the first fruits of the harvest and that sort of thing. The first of things to God, rather than the sort of the tail end.
Yes, that's very true, and that's very helpful. It is always incumbent upon us to have a willingness to say God first. We can think of myself, well, what about my needs? And even perhaps my family or whatever. But no, putting God first is always the right way to go, and will open up God's blessing in many other ways as well.
So the Israelites head off, the Exodus has begun, but then the amazing thing is that Pharaoh, after all that's happened, changes his mind again. We saw when we were looking at the plagues in earlier programs how terrible things happened. He said, yes, you can go, then he changed his mind. I guess they didn't think that after this terrible final plague he would change his mind again, and yet he did. What does that tell us about Pharaoh?
Well, I think that, you know, we need to be cautious, and yet at the same time, what we see in Pharaoh, I think, is a very real picture of Satan and the devil. And he just doesn't give up.
Mm.
He never gives up. He knows where he's heading. He's heading for hell.
Mm.
And there's no escape for him. There's no salvation for him. But he is relentless in pursuing his agenda, which is to kill, steal and destroy.
Mm.
And that's what you're seeing in the heart of Pharaoh. Remember that even the devil was once an angel worshipping God in heaven.
Mm.
And he fell from that position to a rebel and an enemy of the strongest possible variety. And Pharaoh is the devil's tool. And he just doesn't like God's people, and he doesn't like them to be free.
Yeah.
He doesn't like them to be in the place God wants them to be. He will not give up.
Then we have this amazing moment where they get to the Red Sea. It's chapter 14, verse 21, and Moses stretches out his hand and stops the Red Sea. That must tell us something about Moses and his faith at that point, that he felt confident enough to do that.
Well, yes, he'd have looked pretty silly lifting out his rod and nothing happening. But the rod, of course, is a picture of authority, and God had given him authority. God had spoken to him way back in those desert experiences, the burning bush. God said, I'm going to invest my authority in you. And stretching out the rod, he was trusting God that he was going to make a way. However impossible it seemed, he would make a way.
Yeah.
And God duly did.
Okay. Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the book of Exodus in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.